Hello, everybody. It's your weekend Chapo. We've got no guest, no Virgil, no Amber. It's Chapo. Classic, classic, classic. It's me, Will Meneker. Joining me, as always, Felix Peterman.
Hello, everybody.
Matt Chrisman.
Hi.
And we got, of course, Brendan James on the ones and the twos.
Hello.
Classic, classic, classic. OG Chapo coming at you live and direct from a scorching New York City in late September.
Not having it. Dude, fucking having it.
Can it be flannel weather already?
Just something. This fucking sucks. Just a heads up to anybody in New York who might see me walking the streets and be alarmed by the giant dark circles under my on my shirt. It's not sweat. It's drool. I'm fine.
I have been the pit stain kid. When we were at the premiere Thursday, I was sweating everywhere. It was cool. It's a sign of a healthy, functioning body.
Oh yeah! Shout out to our new friend Neo Yokio.
That's right.
No bullshit. While we were watching the premiere of Neo Yokio, like within the first minute of it, Catherine did tap me on the shoulder and whisper, "That's Neo Yokio."
Did you see that they gave me the biggest chair?
Yeah, they gave you this chair that like usually is like a cut out one to put a wheelchair in, and Felix was sat in some kind of fucking throne.
Yeah.
At this, you know, I don't want to say Hollywood premiere because it was in Manhattan.
It was in Manhattan. Yeah.
But
Hollywood
yeah.
East.
I was gonna say we should thank Ezra again.
Yeah, thank you, Ezra.
The invite. Yeah. Ezra Klein.
Ezra Klein's new anime, new wonk anime.
Ezra Klein's new anime series, Neo Yokio. Yeah. Check it out.
I really enjoyed it. You won't get a lot of the jokes if you're not like a weeb. So like, you know, like if you didn't grow up normal and cool and didn't watch anime.
I blew it because I had too much of an edible and it kicked in way too fucking strong to be like in that kind of like, you know, cool party scene crowd.
Manneker mindset.
Yeah, and I blew my chance to meet Jaden Smith because I was like too self-conscious and like trapped inside. But I wanted to be anointed by the Star Child. But we were in the same room with him.
Yeah, we got a little bit of his residual energy.
I had like a little bit of glow from Jaden. Yeah. It was refracted upon me.
I saw him across the room. He was by himself. I had a clear angle. And I just knew enough about myself to know that there's no way I would be able to make the most of meeting Jaden Smith.
Okay, so let's jump into the show for the week. And like I said, we're recording this on Sunday, football Sunday. You know, you're probably watching the game right now. And thankfully, events have sort of aligned to give us a big, fat, juicy meatball down the center of the plate. I'm talking about baseball, but I guess we're talking about football. We're talking about sports. And by that, I mean it's the president versus sports. Who's going to win?
The president, if you guys don't know, the president called out pro gamer Clit Busta for taking a knee during a Madden 2K17 game.
I do like the fact that all of our brains are collectively inextricably meshed with the random misfirings of the senile brain of this fucking simpleton.
No, dude, it's genius. He's distracting from Russia by having the same types of stupid outbursts he's had for 40 years.
To begin on this, I saw Alex Perine had a great point this morning that I really liked, where he basically said, I think it's great that Trump has now added all sports to the ever-growing list of things his sort of retiree, angry grandpa base now can't enjoy.
Excuse me, but the Penguins are still going to the White House.
Okay,
so
hockey
is still good.
Hockey is still okay.
This really is the opportunity for the guy who invented bun fights to come back and make some serious cash, because what are you going to watch on Sunday if you can't watch the NFL?
Bum fights. They respect the flag.
They respect the flag.
They respect the flag. They respect America.
You pay them $5 and they fuck the flag.
the UFC friend of Donald Trump, Dana White, spoke at the RNC. They have an event every year called Fight for the Troops, where they're like, yeah, you saw all your friends get blown up by IEDs in a pointless war. It's time to watch fucking Brendan Brandon take on Kurt Slob in the main event. But so, at Fight for the Troops, those are actually the most violent events somehow. It's pretty fucking cool. Another sacrifice our troops make for us.
So I guess like this thing began when, what is it, like Trump went to yet another political route, a sort of a campaign-style political rally in Alabama.
He's rallying support for the guy who was appointed to finish Jeff Sessions' term. He has to run for re-election. He's in a close race that they'll probably lose against absolute maniac Roy Moore.
Yeah, that's funny.
A Bush-era snake handling. Throwback to previous generation of mentally unhinged reactionaries.
He was the one who put the Ten Commandments at the courthouse, and that was like a sort of a Bush era like controversy.
It's just so adorable. Remember when everybody was worried about a theocracy, and now it's like, no, dude, there's no theocracy. It's just gonna be a giant fucking casino with fights to the death in the fucking Coliseum. There's no fucking religion having anything to do with this.
Yeah.
God has left the building.
That's I was thinking about Marilyn Manson for some reason this week. And
he was in the news. There was an article about him.
There was
recently.
An article where he just like acts lame and is like, I wear white con, you know, like all the shit that was like shocking in the 90s. And I've always like respected him because he has like a deep normie transgressiveness that would always scare religious people. But I feel bad for him because all the people who would get shocked about devil worship and shit like that and sex, they don't care about that anymore. Their culture war now is race war. They're now mad at Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. That's the type of shit they're mad about. Yeah.
If Marilyn Manson came back and went on tour and he wore one of those weird alien androgyny outfits with a big spike dildo coming out of it and he had an upside down cross made of menstrual blood on his chest, but he tore up a picture of fucking D-Ray, they would love him.
Yeah,
they wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, Protestant, like American Christians have already, they never worship God. They worship
the Blue Lives Matter. The Blue Lives Matter. The Blue Lives Matter. The Blue Lives Matter. They'd love it. They'd be pumping that stuff out of their fucking truck.
So, like I said, so he was speaking at that rally in Alabama and used the occasion to call out NFL players who were kneeling for the national anthem.
Get that son of a bitch off the field.
Yeah, he said, you know, I would tell the owners, get that son of a bitch off the field. You know, the NFL players who are kneeling in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick and his ongoing protest. And then it spilled over because Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors was sort of being like, you know, I don't know if I want to go to the White House. You know, the championship Warriors team, if you win the championship in a major sport, you get to visit the White House. Now, a lot of athletes are like, do we really want to go visit Donald Trump's White House? Steph Curry made some public statement that was like, you know, I'm not so sure I want to visit Donald Trump's White House. And then someone screen capped this. Literally 20 minutes before Donald Trump tweeted his petulant, he disinvited the Warriors from coming to the White House because of what Steph Curry said. Someone screencapped this. Literally 20 minutes before Trump tweeted that, the headline on Fox and Friends,
of course,
was Golden State Warriors, like, snub White House.
It's good to me that this is where we live now. Yeah. I like it. It's actually fun.
Degrade
fucking haircuts like Steve Ducey can read off a fucking teleprompter. Some just pap that some sexually harassed minion of Roger Ailes' zombie corpse fucking had him pump out. And then this fucking senile dipshit can get riled up by it. And then everyone in America gets to talk about
Everybody
it.
Everybody talks
that.
About it. Like, and then people responded to it. And then like yesterday, like a whole slew of NBA, like LeBron, Chris Paul, Steph Curry responded eventually.
Yeah, you can't NBA is the wokest of leagues.
Yeah, and LeBron called him a bum and said it was an honor to go to the White House until you showed up. And then
there will not be while he's president, an NBA team will not show up there for any.
Why the fuck would they? I think the Steelers today all stayed in the locker room for the national anthem. So like clearly, like more and more players.
Well,
that
was an attempt by the coach to avoid anybody kneeling.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But then this one fucking dipshit who's a lineman and was a troop came out and stood there by himself.
Okay. I was in the collateral murder video. You will not make me kneel. Ben, stop kneeling.
And then Ben Roethlisberger is like, I was only kneeling because I dropped a hamburger.
Basically, now we get to hear, you know, America loves its sports. And, you know, the only thing they hate when politics gets injected into their sports.
They hate it when their safe space is violated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There should be no politics in the U.S. Army presented halftime show where fucking Derek Reinhardt sings his new country anthem. Like,
What if God was a troop?
Yeah, what if God was a troop?
And then they fly a B-2 bomber over the stadium.
I'm going to treat my daughter's boyfriend like an Arab. Like all those hit songs
when Tom Brady
that are
retires,
apolitical.
The next Patriots quarterback is going to be a Predator drone.
I think like Matt talked about how just sort of degrading this all is for us, but I do feel bad.
It's funny.
It's like you it's know funny, it but it's like it's I feel like, bad.
It's
for
like we're a 300 million person long human centipede that got stitched back together, and so it's a big circle, and then the shit just shoots through it like the Large Hadron Collider. Until it reaches a fucking supernova and it creates a black hole of
stupidity,
idiocy.
Of just absolute idiocy.
No light can fucking escape.
To that point, Kaepernick started doing this because of police brutality against black people. And now, because Trump has made this about him, every fucking lame piece of shit who yelled at Kaepernick for not voting, for taking a very firm stance about issues of racism, systemic racism of police,
and not willing to just knuckle under to the Democratic Party line. Yeah.
Now they're like, let's all kneel. And now it's about Trump. Now kneeling is about Trump, right, even though it was resistance. Supposed to be about this
but that's how
specific
the, that,
issue.
That is how this just idiot spectacle machinery we have now works. You have somebody in Kaepernick who wanted to draw attention to systematic racial apartheid being enforced by the law across this country, just something that's deeply embedded in the fabric of everything that makes America what it is, from our fucking housing and income distribution and incarceration. It flows from this white supremacist framework that is reinforced first and foremost by the police, and he's trying to call attention to that. And of course, because it's a criticism of America and its deepest ideas about itself, Chud dipshits all decide that it's about the flag and the troops. And of course, they're right in a way because they're all part of the same fabric. It's all part of the same, in military police shit hell empire. But of course, they turn
of which the NFL is like our civic pride, like expression.
It's the civic, recreational, alienated version of all of our worst martial attributes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they decide it's about troops
and
the flag.
And weird racial hierarchy,
and
too.
And of course, yes. Yeah. Oh, God, they do love the draft days, and they love the combine.
Should have drafted Dan Quinn. Combine. Dan Quinn would have ended apartheid.
He's the fastest white boy ever.
He was a black boy trapped in white skin. Yeah.
And Dan Quinn, if the NFL had drafted, if they hadn't listened to Lucifer Liu and drafted Dan Quinn, he would have ended racism by proving that a white boy can run faster than any black guy.
Everyone in the NFL right now would be performing the violin. And Donald Trump would step down. He would be like, triple-digit orgasms? I've never seen
that. How much, though, do you think these NFL fans who love every element of scouting and drafting would love to go to the combine with calipers?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So there's all this... Everything shitty about America is turned into a spectacle that we can enjoy where it's all played out in sort of a simulated version. And so they get mad, but they get mad at this disrespect for the symbolic level. And, of course, Trump then, who was elected by these people... Not to build a wall, not to stop ISIS, not to make America great again. He was elected by these people in order to yell at the football players who are being spoiled and ungrateful. That's why they elected him.
Yeah.
Because politics is divorced from actual people's lives. It's all resentment. It's all spectacle. And it's all seeing your enemies made mad and seeing your views affirmed by some asshole who you saw on TV. So there goes Trump. And then what does everyone else do? People who maybe were made uncomfortable by the implications of Kaepernick's protests, they decide, well, it's about this guy. And at every level, it gets further and further abstracted. It gets abstracted to the flag and the troops, and then it gets extracted further to fucking Trump, and now it's just another fucking partisan issue that is easily sorted by which fucking team you think you're a member of. And all the while, the actual systemic racial hierarchy enforced at the point of a gun goes undiscussed.
This is something that like Ricky Rawls has talked about, how in America, no social movement is allowed to just be about its issue. Like, Kaepernick, obviously, it's become about this spectacle, as Matt's talked about. And we see it with other things. We see it with how BDS, the immediate criticism of BDS is, well, why don't you boycott China or Saudi Arabia? Because this is about Israel. This is about a singular issue.
If you bring up like cops killing people, right, it's always like, black, what about Chicago?
It's always black on black crime.
Hey, why doesn't LeBron talk about all the people being killed in Chicago? And it's like, well, he's not from Chicago.
And he also does. He also does because there's never, like, they don't actually care about the right way to say it. They care about what's being said, and that's just but it does betray like a deeper American sickness, which is how much marketing made us fucking insane. Everything is synergy. It's not just about police brutality anymore. It's this fucking culture war thing on the right. Now, for the left, it isn't a culture war. It is actually a war over life and death. But for the right, it gets subsumed into this culture war bullshit because we've seen they can't actually pass their economic designs. Everyone fucking hates it. They're in power now. It's like when Christopher Moltisanti bought his mansion and no one gave a shit.
Well, there
no one is. Fucking respects them. They have to turn it into a culture war thing. But liberals who have no appreciation of life and death or resources as political issues, they have to fight it on culture war terms and go, well, you know, I don't know how many people would be into saying, like, fuck cops, but, you know, this is taking a knee is about respecting the office. It's about saying Evan McMullen rocks. It becomes this fucking neutered bullshit that is simultaneously about everything and about nothing.
What's so infuriating about the Chicago rejoinder is that the fucking dead in Chicago and the dead in police incidents, they're all being killed by the same fucking structural racism. They're both victims of the same foundational inscribed racial hierarchy. I mean, the city of fucking Chicago was literally built in order to cage its black population. And the legacy of that is the violence in the streets. And these fucking dipshits want to point out like that's some sort of undermining a case against police abuse, when the police abuse is what fosters the sort of just social decay that leads to violence in Chicago.
But just to pick up on what you said about how like politics is divorced from outcomes and it is just spectacle and resentment, and Felix, what you said about how like the right has to make everything into like a culture war issue because people hate their actual politics, and that the issues that they despise aren't really about a culture war. They're about, for instance, police just killing people and getting away with it over and over again. I want to take this excuse now to shit all over Noah Rothman.
And someone who doesn't do identity politics at all, like no culture war shit in Commentary Magazine, which is read by 1,000 dying Zionists on the Upper East Side, you fucking cunt.
So like he in his own way tries to make the point you guys are, but fucks up badly because he has the brain worms. Because it's essentially his point of view is so diseased he can't actually make. Like he's grasping at what we're trying to talk about here about how politics is stalled out and doesn't work and we are stuck in this kind of idiotic culture war. But like he of course tries to make it like, oh, both sides are just why don't we do some real politics? So I just want to read Noah Rothman here. He says this is speaking about the take a knee protests and all that. And this is him attempting to like make a higher intellectual point. And he says, the best part of this inane culture war is both sides appear pretty convinced that they can win and are intent on testing their theory. Trump voters think the left is attacking the flag. The left thinks Trump is going after athletes. Both think they have the high ground. Okay. Trump actually is going after the athletes.
He called them literally sons of
bitches. Yeah. Then he says, but neither on the activist side seem to have given a thought to the collateral damage from their ego-driven feud. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Kaepernick and like the people, this is ego for them.
Yeah, I hate it when I hate it, you know, black people hate experiencing ego death when cops murder and harass
like
them.
Like Kaepernick, who literally is not employed now anymore because of the political stance he took.
But you know who never does resentment-based like ID politics?
Commentary magazine
would never write 5 billion fucking articles about how Rachel Ray wore something that looked like a kafaya in a Dunkin' Donuts ad. They would never like pull their hair out because
John,
like,
Podhoretz writes movie reviews for them that just literally reviews every movie about whether or not they made him mad as an overweight, oafish conservative. They're like, this movie portrayed a large, sweaty, bald man in a negative light, and this is the way Hollywood thinks about me. You know, another insult.
That guy must hate the Coens, because that's literally every one of their films.
Why can't Channing Tatum gain twice the amount of weight that De Niro gained for Raging Bull and defy de Blasio's order not to go outside because he's too fat for a snowstorm?
Can we go through the commentary...
I will.
Can we go through the commentary archives to find the stuff from the early 90s? Because I'm pretty convinced they had an article about if the Noid was anti-Semitic.
we're all going to take a knee during shuffleboard to protest the Noid.
Rothman continues, though. He says, culture wars aren't won. No, he says, culture wars aren't won. They go on forever. We're still talking about Jane Fonda.
Yeah, still exists.
He says, we're still talking about Jane Fonda, for Pete's sake.
No. You old fuck. Nobody one talks about Jane Fonda except for John Bedoritz and every other old egg-shaped decaying oaf that you hang out with.
He says, for Pete's sake, proxy fighting when real politics stalls. This isn't politics, it's identity. But passion makes it feel like politics. It's a substitute for genuine civic engagement. So go ahead, be a culture warrior. But it's the lowest form of civic expression. It makes the country dumber and more factious. Okay, and what I want to like point out here is I think this gets to this larger point about like for this specific type of right winger who thinks himself sort of better than Trump. In this situation, what he does is like to make everything a culture war, like a both sides issue. Like when they sense they're losing a culture war, which they definitely are now, they try to make culture war seem frivolous and dumb. But when they have a chance to win it, they'll push it as hard as they fucking can. And like also classifying everything outside your specific interest as identity politics or low politics. For Commentary Magazine, the only politics that really counts for them is, can we start a war with Iran now, or do we have to wait another 4 years?
Yeah, I mean...
like, that is high politics for them, and it, has, of course, has nothing to do with identity or anything like
well,
that.
Well, that's why they love the term national security, because it's a very removed, antiseptic term for what really is
we
endless war for the perpetuation of empire.
In securing the nation, we're all in agreement that the nation must be secure. That's not a partisan issue.
Yeah, you don't want your children to die, do you?
Exactly. Make... a protest against a specific thing, which is police violence against black communities in this country, and make that on par with some fucking rube asshole who's still mad about Jane Fonda and the flag, which, let's be honest, could not be more symbolic and identity-based, getting mad about the fucking flag on a football game.
Well, this is such a perfect cap to just this dialectic of idiocy that we've been... trapped in for the last 2 years, that the right has spent the first 8 months of Trump's term deciding that their issues were defending free expression against censorious prudes, and that they were going to be the avatars of free debate and ideas in the public square, and not allowing people's feelings to get in the way of the important political dialogues we need to have. And instantly, all it took was for the twitching glob of fat between this idiot's ears to throw out a huckle of tweets. And it's now, you know what? If you're employed and you do a protest against our flag, you should be shot out of a cannon. And I don't want to see that on my TV. It makes me sad. And that there should be a law against me being sad if my preferred television program is in any way offensive to me.
This is why you should... never play these people's games, because, you know, the far right perspective is Trump's thing, like fire everyone who kneeled because it's disrespectful to the flag. But then the sort of center right position is like the Ben's ass Joe Scarborough position, where it's like, you know, that's insulting to veterans, but they shouldn't be fired. And it's like, there's never going to be a right way to do this. We should have never fucking picked up the mantle in 2003 of like, well, we're against the war, but we support the troops. No one was saying that they didn't support the fucking troops to begin with. It was just something they brought up to impose conditions on opposition. They always do this. Never the moment that you let them fucking put confines on what your opposition is, you've already fucking lost. Fuck the flag. Fuck disrespecting whoever by kneeling. It doesn't fucking matter. It's never going to be enough.
Why
just
fucking
do it.
Why are you standing up for the fucking national anthem before a football game anyway? Why are you even doing that? Why is that a thing? Do it before you do everything, you fucking fat piece of shit.
A 50-year-long great tradition that started when fathers were taking Valium to avoid their kids so they could grow up to be shitty Gen Xers who write these articles.
We should have to stand for the national anthem before a movie starts.
They do that in India.
Really?
Yes. Nobody brought that in. He's got some great ideas, folks. This Modi. Don't we love Modi?
Guys, and also...
Hindu Vada. Heard great things about it.
my other favorite thing with Kaepernick is people that are using Pat Tillman as the foil against Kaepernick. Do any of these fucking rubes know that A, Tillman was killed by friendly fire, B, he was incredibly left-wing in his... Pat Tillman had an ongoing correspondence with Noam Chomsky.
He was sexting with Noam Chomsky.
Yeah,
they've been
sexting with Chomsky, and he was quoted as saying, the Iraq war is so fucking illegal, I can't believe it. If Tillman were alive, they would, first of all, like, if he had, like, lived through that and talked and, like, spoke out against the Iraq war, they would have wanted him executed for treason.
Immediately.
Tillman would be one of the first guys to fucking kneel in solidarity with Kaepernick.
He would be on
certainly.
The front of commentary with a... They would have drawn a fucking Nazi armband
yeah,
on him
exactly.
at Target.
Exactly. They'd be like, Pat Tillman, you know, the enemy among us, or something like that. By the way, I've just been searching around on the commentary website, and I came across this, the commentary podcast.
It says, sadly,
Noah Ross. Hoffman was out of commission for this episode.
Oh, no.
But John Podoris is going to talk to Abe Greenwald. And this goes to show you how fucking shallow their politics are. The title of this podcast is Trump Turning It Around? And the description says, we discussed the president's speech at the UN. Good. What did I just fucking say? That the only thing they care about is starting the next fucking war in the Middle East. Okay, you know what? Again. I'm just going to press play here. Select, do our old bit, select at random. John Podoritz talking with a mouthful of snacks or something.
Floating on the ceiling like Baron Harkonnen.
Wait, I want to read the rest of the description. It said, we discussed the president's speech at the UN. Good. The attacks on it, mostly bad. Why his polls have seen an uptick. And who's crazier about healthcare? Liberals. And the evils of honey. Yes, honey. The evils of honey. I guess it's just not sweet enough for him.
Did John get his head stuck in a jar of it like Winnie the Pooh?
Sometimes I will go to a bakery and I will get a treat that I think will have pure cane sugar in it, and they'll have honey, and honey is not as sweet as sugar, regardless of what they say.
Okay,
the left and the right have their problems. Donald Trump shouldn't have said what he did, and the left shouldn't have mocked me for being stung by all those bees for trying to take their sweet, delicious honey.
Okay, so this is the Commentary Magazine podcast, a random selection. Okay, here we go.
He didn't follow through. Bush didn't follow through. On his own problems.
Can't listen to this guy.
Does he have a fucking ascot in his throat?
I cannot listen to that guy's voice. Hold on. Another selection. Say something.
Political, what Jim Acosta said about you, like constantly digging at him, flaring him up, getting his, you know, and so clearly Kelly's whole project has been to lower the temperature in the Oval Office and to...
Are they in an allergist office just being tested for what they are allergic to while they record? What the fuck?
And what was the date on that one when he's talking through a sock over his fucking nose?
September 20th, 2017.
Okay, so he's still on the big general made Trump smart. Even now, when he threatened to murder 23 million Koreans every time he takes a shit.
No, but they like that, though. That's
they
smart
love that.
To them.
They love that. And, John Kelly, who just a man doing his job, following Trump to Alabama to campaign with him, just the honorable general.
Speaking of the Korea thing, we've been fucking talking about, because this is all we can talk about now, because we genuinely live in hell. We are in hell. Like, either we all died in a solar flare and we're like in a collective union, post-life state where we're just destroying ourselves for eternity.
We died at the election night
or show. Or we are simulations being tormented by a mad and sadistic
by
god.
By Rocco's Basilisk.
Matt Rogan, baby.
It might be Rocco's Basilisk. So what we've been talking about is fucking these Trump tweets about Kaepernick and about the NFL. I want to read three tweets in a row that he did last night. Roger Goodell of NFL just put out a statement trying to justify the total disrespect certain players show to our country. Tell them to stand. All right? Next tweet. Just heard Foreign Minister of North Korea speak at UN. If he echoes thoughts of Little Rocket Man, they won't be around much longer. Next. If NFL fans refuse to go to games until players stop disrespecting our flag and country, you will see change take place fast. Fire or suspend. He took a break in the middle of bitching about the fucking protests in the fucking NFL to threaten to kill everyone in the Korean Peninsula.
Woo.
Normal man.
I've mostly tuned out the dramatically frightening escalation of tensions in North Korea.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is
I don't know whether to take it seriously.
It's kind of scary because the way we have the way we've brilliantly structured nuclear response is that even though it is not in any interest of capital, either globally or specifically American, to have a war with North Korea, there's no gain for it. It's not something that any segment of the ruling class has any interest in seeing happen. But because we've created a system where the discretion to use nuclear weapons is really in one man's hands, it's not insane to worry that this idiot will kill us all. Some people are like, there's no way that the generals would obey the orders, but they have these ingrained ideas about, you know, the mission and all that. We don't know. But for the most part, Korea shit is like the easiest way, if you're a president, to just get everybody to not talk about whatever you're doing. Whether it's the healthcare bill falling apart or the fact that our biggest dependency in the Caribbean is without power for 6 months and basically has its infrastructure completely destroyed on the heels of a structural adjustment program that had already basically destroyed its economy. You can shake the fucking stick at Rocket Man and everyone will take a breath. So I think we don't have to worry about too much, but it is the cavalierness of it. Considering the power at his disposal is disturbing, even if it's all bluster, it really does mean that he doesn't understand what his position means. And of course he doesn't, but seeing it so starkly displayed is kind of chilling.
The Korea thing does scare me to an extent because it's the most explicit case of America as a mafia enforcement racket, where it's like the one thing that'll keep us from going into your country, reneging on any deal that we made. We'll always renege on the deals, but the thing that will keep us from airstriking your palace and turning your country into tearing it into shreds is you having a nuke. And I think that they know that people know this, that like the only real insurance you have against America is having a nuclear weapon. Like, it didn't matter what Gaddafi did. You know, we still
Gaddafi never even tried to get a nuke.
You can make a deal like Iran did, which there looks like they're going to tear up.
Yeah, I bet they wish they had a fucking ICBM. And the thing that worries me about Korea is, even for a fucking dumbass like Donald Trump, he probably thinks like, oh, people are going to realize that we only fuck with countries that don't have nukes. So if I knock this guy off, people won't think that they have a bulletproof thing, and then we get to live in fallout.
That would be cool.
The Iran deal.
Okay, well, I'll be able to go in slow mo. I mean, so there's, you know, silver
lining to every
cloud. The Iran
deal thing is amazing, though.
It's horrifying.
Like that is scarier to me than North Korea, because the precedent that sets is,
and well, that's also a situation where you do have powerful interests, very invested,
who definitely wants
100%
conflict.
Yes. Yeah, Iran has obeyed the terms of the deal diligently.
To the letter.
But not the part about...
Not the thing about them being
Iran and being a regional power that exists in that region.
They didn't decide to become Sunni, so they gotta die.
They didn't become Sunni or allow themselves to be annexed by Israel. Very aggressive of them.
And now for a rebuttal, the commentary podcast.
the biggest order of terror in the region.
School children of Iran pray for Jews to die with hype. I love that he had echoes of Reagan, and there was a great pile of sugar that I got to stick my spout in outside the UN.
What does God call it when he goes to the bathroom? Oh, Palestinians.
Oh, Jesus. That would be like a good Neil Hamburger as a commentary magazine.
Yeah, yeah. APAC Hamburger.
APAC Hamburger.
Neil Kosher Hamburger.
I will say though, back to the Trump versus athletes thing. Another aspect of this that I think is interesting is it made me think about the fact that Trump, like largely his interactions with black people in real life, seem to have almost been entirely be A-list athletes or entertainers.
Yes,
right. Yeah. That he sees at parties. And remember, I see Trump fans all the time be like, "Oh, he's racist. How about this?" And it's like a picture of him shaking hands with Don King. And then like his lawyer, the Stephen Cohen guy,
Michael Cohen,
yeah, yeah. The daughter. Photo sharing guy.
Yeah.
Remember he had that collage that was like pre-made where it was like break in case of racist emergency. Yeah. And it was like a Photoshop of him again just posing with different like black celebrities, one of whom was Don King and Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
As well. Ray Lewis and Jim Brown, which yeah. I mean, Jim Brown did a lot of good things politically in the 60s as well. He was a very outspoken athlete politically. However, there's some problematic things in his life as
My
well.
Favorite thing about the Michael Cohen tweet, by the way, like the collage is hysterical, but the thing where he goes, you can see why Trump picks him as a lawyer, such a good lawyer. He says, just because I support Trump doesn't mean I'm racist. Like already like saying
Your Honor,
that it's racist.
By the way,
Your Honor, I may not be a racist, but I do support my client, Donald Trump. Yeah.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
Forgetting, though, that collage of him taking a picture with Omarosa, you know, it is invariably accompanied with a macro that says, Donald Trump was never accused of being racist until he ran for president, which is... Let's ask the Federal Housing Authority about that. Since he was like the first thing that happened is as soon as he got out of his dad's shadow and got his own building was to get sued for housing discrimination.
Ask the fucking Central Park Five.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only people who accused Donald Trump of being racist were the Central Park Five.
What were they doing there?
Yeah.
What were they doing there?
What were they doing in the park? They're the angels.
Yeah. Bunch of kids in the park.
That is really incredible. That actually never came up during the campaign.
No, it did. No, it didn't.
It really?
He said he doubled down on it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The headline in the New York Times, he put a full page of that. The headline in giant capital letters was, "Bring back the death penalty."
Yep. That's the only thing he's ever spent money on not to make a profit for. Every time he's ever pledged to a charity, it goes to some slush fund that just buys him pictures of himself.
Yes.
or it just never sends
the
check.
You're right. This
check.
May be the most purely altruistic only, act. He's ever done was to try to get five teenagers executed by the state for a crime they didn't commit.
That was the only thing.
This is the only pure
time,
feeling he had. Yeah.
The only time in his life he wrote a check not to get something back for it.
But like back to my original point about how like Trump just meets like athletes and entertainers, and then he's like, the blacks, they love me. It's great. I think it speaks to like an interesting way. Like we talked about how like sports is such an interesting like expression of like race in America, and entertainment certainly is too. But like, I really think like the reason the NFL shit like pisses off Trump and his supporters so much is because like, I think like it's this idea that they're ungrateful.
Yes.
That these athletes are ungrateful, that they've been given so... It's not that they've achieved on their own.
It's not that they're sacrificing 20, 30 years of mental cognition in life. To somehow make it in this,
or that they've like you know worked really hard to be like one of the few hundred people in the world who can like you know perform at that level athletically, you know it's like that they're like America and not just America but people like Donald Trump I think and for the people his supporters think that people like them are like owed something from these people in terms of deference.
Yeah,
and this gets to my other point about we're talking about like how. When politics stalls out, like things are diverted into these kind of culture war avenues that, according to Noah Rothman, just never go anywhere. They do go somewhere, actually, but his side is losing, and that's why he wants to make it seem. But like, here's the weird thing. The hard right wing controls all three branches of our government now, which is terrifying in a lot of ways. However, culturally, they've never had any less power. Like, these people think they should be... It goes back to our thing we talked about again and again. They're like, why are these people so fucking miserable? And I think it gets to your point where it's like, it's not really about the wall or tangible political achievement. What they want that they're not getting, and they're getting even less, is respect. And they really want respect from people that they think they're owed deference from.
Well, because
And, like, for instance, like, athletes now... probably I've never felt more freely to just be like, you know what, fuck Donald Trump, or like, you know, like we don't have to like kiss the ass of the cops or the president or whatever.
Well, the thing is, the reason that they care so much about this, and way more than they could ever care for Obamacare repeal or tax reform or anything, is because his real base, I mean, not talking about everybody who voted for him, but the base of the Republican Party, the base of his support, are the most comfortable, over-pampered fucking assholes in the history of the world.
Yeah.
With their detached garages and their fucking man caves. And like, these are the guys who've retired. They got out right before basically the world economy stopped working for anyone who wasn't a billionaire. And they are sitting on their fucking lucre with their big screen TV. And the only... They are fueled by this resentment that anybody out there isn't like impressed with them and proud of them for the accomplishments they've made in life. And so they see some fucking millionaire out there who's disrespecting the flag, who, you know what? I could have had his job if my knee hadn't bust out in high school or whatever.
I think that's it, because okay, I think the biggest defining trait of these people is that they've never been good at anything. They've never been like exceptional at any.
Powerfully mediocre.
Yeah, there's nothing that they could ever do where you're like, that person's good
and
at that thing.
But they're doing so well in life, and yeah. That's such a weird. How do you process that mentally?
Even if you're like a deluded piece of shit, like most of these people are, you do know that on some level that there is nothing that anyone will remember you for. Besides, like, the time, you know, you brought out a lawn jockey at Thanksgiving or something. And so, like, there is a level of insecurity when you see people who are, like, look, I fucking hate football. It's boring, but they're great at it. Like, and you're objectively amazing at something if you play in the NFL. For people who aren't just amazing at something but are outspoken against their view of the world, it strikes at this deep fear in them, like what Matt has talked about, that they don't deserve their level of comfort. And they get to, you know, we have a national mental sickness. It isn't just the conservatives with lionizing troops and cops. But these people like to use troops and cops because in their mind, they're like, they either maybe were that in a time where we had no war, or, you know, they can at least imagine themselves having done that. They can't really imagine themselves past the surface level, if my knee hadn't blown out thing, being in the NFL or being that good at something. But they can imagine themselves being like, well, you know, I'm a selfless, fearless person who could risk my life for law and order. And
they
American
can certainly
safety.
Imagine themselves shaving their head bald and getting some dragon tattoos and strapping on 500 pounds of Kevlar and putting an assault rifle strapped across their chest and stand in front of a Cardinals game protecting it from ISIS.
Yeah, and because
with
they
can, like
yeah.
six knee braces on.
Yeah, and because they can only like look at things through the frame of themselves. They have decided, just in the way that God in their version of Christianity is just a stand-in for America, cops and troops are just a stand-in for them. It's their types of people. And
yeah.
Not standing for the national anthem, for this tradition that's existed for what, like fucking two decades or something that no one gave a shit about before this, is actually an insult to them because, well, I've thought about being a troop.
Of course, only troops in the abstract, not specific troops if they disagree.
Yeah,
that's why seeing people say, I served four tours in Afghanistan, and I say that kneeling is good. You think he's going to say, oh, I'm never mind. You're a troop. I agree with you now. I mean, one of my signal memories from the Bush era and really crystallized the idea that how much of this is just tribalism and has nothing to do with any real respect for these categories as individuals is when that guy at the Rumsfeld press conference, when he went to visit the troops after the invasion of Iraq, this guy, he was a troop.
Yeah.
Invaded, tip of the spear to invade Iraq. Got up and said, Mr. Secretary, we have inadequate armor on these Humvees. We're very vulnerable driving around on these streets. We need better material. And that's when he had that amazing, you go to war with the army you have line. But the entire right-wing blogosphere said, someone strap him to the front of a fucking Humvee and put it through Fallujah. Yeah.
You can't
fucking coward.
By the way, probably the vast majority of deaths and maimings in Iraq was due to the fact that a Humvee is like a fucking soda can to an IED in the streets of Baghdad or whatever.
And they were reduced to like jerry-rigging their own army.
Yeah, because they were in an army built by Team B dumbasses who jacked off every night 30 years,
because
imagining
Rumsfeld,
that they'd be fighting over Poland with Russia.
Yeah,
and then
with
they
the
went
Warsaw
to war.
Pact country.
Yeah, then went into asymmetrical warfare. But it's like, yeah, the point is you can't fucking out-logic these people and go, well, did you like the troops? They said this. They don't give a shit. They don't fucking give a shit. They're just resentful pieces of shit, and you just have to wait for them to die. I'm sorry. That's it.
Help them along. Use a pillow.
Well, it's earlier you talked about how like these are all high school athletes who are like, was it for my knee, I'd be... Trump believes that about himself.
Yes.
He said, remember when he said,
the best baseball player ever in New York?
He said, I was one of the best baseball players in New York City as a kid. I assume there were no Dominicans in New York City at that time. But check this out. I found this tweet the other day, and it is so fucking perfect. We talk about the real base of Trump support. This is this MAGA asshole who's this young guy who's CEO of Montgomery Assets.
I work for he's a, enterprise.
He's a fixed income / rates trader, Trumponomics
too,
expert, an executive editor.
Trumponomics
expert.
I'm an expert on a made up thing.
Executive editor at offendedamerica.com. And then he says, for those who saying real Donald Trump doesn't know sports, he was almost a pro baseball player and has perfect NBA shot form. Eric Trump is a scout.
What?
And he has a little,
does he mean a scout
he has
for
a little
the Elite
picture
Express?
Of them sitting at the courtside, just like pretending to take a shot.
And it's dog shit.
Yeah,
his
form is
terrible,
shit,
dude. He'd brick everything doing that.
Yeah, just one of the weirdest shaped people who seems terrified descending, not even stairs, just like things in an incline.
Yo,
like
someone,
that.
Oh,
yeah,
someone,
he had to hold Theresa May's hand because they were going downstairs.
Athlete Theresa May.
I saw an amazing series of photos of him yesterday of Trump playing beach volleyball with mom jeans and socks. Wearing socks on the beach.
My God, it's like the Kennedys at Ionis Park.
He acts like a stupid child. Like that's what a bad child would do. They would wear their socks at the beach and get sand in the car. But he was like 63 when
they
he did
will
this.
Love, and that is why they will love him more than they've ever loved a politician. And they will, no matter what he does, they will support him because nothing to do with policy. He is them, and that is everything that society based around consumption and marketing tells you should want is you should want your preferences and personal attitudes reflected back to you in media. And since politicians and politics is just more media, your ultimate avatar is just a fat asshole with the same petty prejudices and the same absolute delusions of competence as you.
I think we're finally done talking about her for a while, but this is... We see that this is a just general national sickness, and that people do this with Hillary too.
Absolutely,
people do this with Hillary.
They did it with Obama like crazy.
Who is the fucking? Was it like Dr. Vox or someone who was like, "What if Obama came out there and said, shit, motherfucker, don't hack our elections, bitch?" And it was like, when has he ever talked like that? What the fuck is wrong like with
Trump,
you?
The Trump people want their own grotesque, burbling visages embodied in politics. And the Obama worshippers, they wanted a cool black friend who'd make them feel authentic and awesome.
And the fact that it's all spectacle, because like most of these grinding, horrible issues would be the same with any of these people in charge. I'm not saying Trump is the same as a Democratic administration.
Hillary would do everything Trump has done, include...
Shout out Crushing Board.
Yeah.
Saying that and making people really, really mad.
Yeah, Hillary would have literally shook Melania's hand on stage. He would have done all of this stuff. She would have had Mike Cernovich in the White House press correspondence. She'd done all of that.
Back to the original issue here, police brutality.
What's that? When we're talking about flags? What are we talking about? Talking about hip-hop thugs disrespecting our nation?
Neil, if you respect Leon Panetta.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, like, you know, Hillary and Obama, you know, we know how much they really stood up to the police departments of America and really put them on
Hillary
notice.
Hillary came out strong for Kaepernick.
You remember, by the way, I remember this is like, early on in Obama's first term, this was like, again, a really good indication of like how fucking bad everything was going. Remember when he had that beer summit?
You.
Where like he fucking threw his friend under the bus, and he was like, based on all the evidence, I think Skip was overreacting. He was trying to walk into his own house, and some shithead Boston cop arrested him, and he was like, I think both sides are a little to blame here. Why don't we just have a beer about it?
He's got to fucking sit there and have a blue moon with some crew cut shithead named Sully O'Sullivan.
Yeah, look, the most awkward fucking thing ever.
Yeah, Henry Louis Gates, one of America's like actual foremost public intellectual, and just this guy who's like, yeah, I became a cop because I saw a 21 Jump Street. Was like, do you have to be pretending to be in high school for that shit? And I was like, yeah, they could never yell at me for dating a freshman anymore. Anyway, is you like Bill Nye or some shit? Is you like Bill Nye for black people and shit? Yeah.
He's from Boston, but that's still very funny.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, we just do the Cumtown Dundalk guy voice now.
wait. Real quick, I just, Dan McLaughlin, a.k.a. Baseball Crank, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Bitch, says...
Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect says, never lose sight of the fact that it was Kaepernick, not conservatives, and not Trump, who chose to make this flight about flag and anthem. He follows up by saying, if Kaepernick had chosen a different form and forum to protest cops, his conservative critics would have been far fewer and quieter.
Horseshit.
No, they wouldn't.
Well,
he's right in one sense. Everyone would have ignored it. And so, yes, there wouldn't have been any criticism because what? He goes and he does a press conference and a few assholes say, sick to sports, buddy. And then nobody else talks about it, as opposed to something that has snowballed and is now a thing. And yes, it gets turned into this nightmare idiot realm of symbolic politics. But if you're going to make a fucking point, you have to try to do it on a stage that's commensurate with the fucking issue that you're bringing up.
Nah, dude.
If you think it's vital and you think it's important and you think it's a natural crisis, then the only time, if you're a football player, that it's reasonable or responsible to bring it up is when you have all the fucking eyes of the world on you. And that's the only time you have that is before the stupid game when we all have our insane Marshall Circle jerk where we stand up for this stupid fucking anthem.
Okay, you ready?
Nah, dude, that's wrong. If you have a protest, you have to do it in your living room, none of your family can be there. You say one slogan, you put your sign down, then you dial 911 to thank the police.
You ready for another one? Here's Sonny Bunch doing his thing, which is being, you know, very cool, wry, hip, memeable. He's doing the it meme where it's like, hey kid, come down here into the gutter.
And
it's
classic meme.
Classic meme. Oh, and it's good, Pennywise, dude, looking from the gutter at the kid, and it says, hey kid, you can just watch sports down here and no one will talk about politics. And then like underneath it is the person crawling into the gutter, the drain ditch or
and
whatever.
Then it's Sonny.
And what I think is so funny about
caught.
That is thinking about Sonny Bunch trying to fit in there. He's like, I just wanted to watch sports and not talk about politics.
Oh my god, imagine his like fat little legs sticking out
just,
and flailing.
Like, just flailing in the sewer.
The fucking
Well, I think of like the other thing, like these conservatives who want to pretend that they're better than Trump or that they're critics of Trump from the right, even though they largely agree with 95% of his actual platform and governance. I think like they'll say like Kaepernick and like NFL players taking the knee. Hey, I think it's their right or whatever, but guess what? It's why Trump is president.
yeah, that's it, dude.
You know, it goes back to this bullshit culture war thing. Like I said at the beginning of the show, when they're losing the culture war in that, like, you don't feel comfortable just standing up and saying, the police should react with deadly violence when every time a black person coughs in their general direction, which is what these people believe, you know. So they're losing the culture war on that front. And then they try to make any of the actual victories in that, like, they do feel more and more alienated from popular culture, and rightly so, because they are diseased. They try to make that be like, oh, please don't throw me in the briar patch. You know, please don't continue to advocate for the things that you believe in or protest, unjust authority in any way. Please don't do that. You'll only make us stronger. Yeah. It's like, no, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
Nobody believes that shit. And like when they're winning on a culture war thing, they would never ever say, oh, well, this is why Obama was president. You see, we went too far with our insane reactionary agenda that most of the country is disgusted with us. That's why Obama's president.
Yeah. No, when they
appoint the next member of Opus Dei to the Supreme Court and they like overturn Roe v. Wade and there's a huge reaction against that and they're kicked out of office, they will never ever say
that. No one Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Yeah. No one ever like has a Bob Kerry moment with how they conducted themselves during the Battle of the Dixie Chicks.
By the way, I fucking hate standing at the fucking national anthem at baseball games. I want to fucking I try to not be in my seat so I don't have to do it. It's a stupid fucking ritual. And the worst though is after 9/11, they started playing God Bless America on Sunday games at Yankee Stadium every game.
Of course,
because they got to number one, baby, Yankees. Yeah, number one with the number one team, number one America. And 9/11 is that's where we're from. We're from 9/11. We're the 9/11 Yankees. So God Bless America every seventh inning. And I remember I went to a game a number of years ago. It was during the Bush years with a friend of mine, and it was a Sunday game, and like I was in the concourse during the anthem or whatever. Who cares? I don't want to sit down as like a thing either, because then I just feel like that's another whole dumb production, because who gives a shit who I am? I'm just some asshole.
We're killing
people in Iraq. It just feels kind of, it feels a little indulgent. But the seventh inning stretch came, and I was like, oh, shit, they're doing God Bless America. Terrible fucking song. And I was just like, fuck it, it's hot. I'm just going to sit down. So we sat there. And it wasn't even like a statement. We were just like, ugh. And these people behind us got fucking pissed. And this one dude started throwing napkins at us. And then one of them I think actually like hit me kind of like, hey. And I just ignored him. I guess he wasn't enough drinks in to like start fighting me or something. But they didn't let it go after. They weren't, it was that Midwestern passive aggression. They weren't talking to us, but they would talk loudly about us to the people next to them. And the thing the guy kept saying was, and I just remember this to this day, was, look, America is the number one country, okay? In the world, and you got to respect that.
Boom, facts don't care about your feelings.
Well,
boom.
I love it because it is just like baseball statistics.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's number one. Our RBIs?
We're number one in the G8 division.
Yeah.
We have like...
Our K-to-death ratio is off the charts.
You want to know what a good counter-protest is? I found this courtesy of Big D Sports 19. A guy chose to sit all of the Steelers on his fantasy team. And awesome. He posted, he says, since they have decided as a team to boycott the national anthem, which I guess they didn't even do, or this was...
No, it was a job. They just didn't want anyone Tomlinson, kneeling yeah, to like okay. point out who is kneeling.
So he said, since they have decided as a team to boycott the national anthem, I have decided to boycott their team as far as having any active players in my starting lineup and have dropped their defense for my team and will keep the two receivers on my bench unless someone wants to make a trade offer that will offer equal value. This will likely mean I forfeit quite a few points, but I can't in good conscience keep any players on a team that decides to poke the USA in the eye. So I will entertain any reasonable offer for the two Steeler reserves on my roster, and they will just stay on my bench if no reasonable trade can be reached.
You're not invited to my imaginary tea party.
Yeah.
This fucking pussy who's just like putting these like athletes, millionaire athletes on a fucking spreadsheet. They don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, you're actually actually, sir, if I kept you on, I would have won a $30 Dave and Buster's gift card at my office, but they're just already walking away. No one gives a shit. That is the limpest protest.
Rooting for teams, by the way, is inherently rooting for management. I've really come to that idea. You can't be a fan of a team, really, and be pro-worker. Because to root for a team means you're rooting for their management to get the best deals, to pay the least amount of money for the most talent so that you can be most have the most flexibility and the best on-field performance.
What about your Green Bay Packers, though?
That money, it's not like they're owned by the state, but that just means that they get a bunch of rubes to pay for stock certificates that are worth nothing because they're the biggest pile of, they're just sacks of just open mouth gee-going, gee-whiz, glassy-eyed
zombie
football.
So in a way, so fantasy sports is better because that way
monsters.
You just root for players.
I do think that it breaks down that idea that, but then again, it turns you into the boss.
Yeah.
So there's really no way to do it. The only way to really be a pro-worker sports fan is to just root for guys that you like to do well, and then root for everybody to get
MMA.
Exactly as much money as they possibly can.
Come to MMA, Matt. You get to root for the individual athletes to fight the company.
Or, cool. Yeah, because they've got a union, right?
Once I'm done with them. No, I don't. It's not good to watch like any stick and ball sports. I don't watch the actual game. I only watch the deals. I root for Verizon going to get a good deal with the fucking Patriots or whatever? I don't know. I want to see.
Wow, this is my sport, dude. This is a strong ad buy. Bold move for A&W Root Beer. This is prime advertising. Real estate. Let's see if it pays off and increase sales in the third quarter.
Yeah, it's fucking cool to be like Darren Rovell and just be like, yeah, deals are my lifeblood.
Yeah, it's cool. We get to choose between blood and soil, nationalism, and just reverting to tribalistic enmity, or we can be bloodless neoliberal subjects only valuing things to the degree that they have monetary worth.
Rich those dad, are, racist dad.
Those are some really good options. It's awesome. I like it. The simulation rules.
Go team.
Go team, go deals.
Go Chapo.
Go Chapo, go deals.
That's the only team you should be rooting for, people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rooting for us personally to do well in life.
Yeah. Continued success of business deals. My death threats that I'm going to issue against the office landlord that we just got. We have not gotten our fucking buzzer. They gave us the wrong ISP. This is not satire. I'm coming into your fucking office. Cut here.
I was going to say, though... Chapo used to be good, but it's too political now.
Only one Noid mention in 90 minutes.
All right. Till next time, guys.
Next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.